Happy New Year, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 76, Aces High. I am your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, good fella, Scott Michella.
Happy New Year. Hello, everyone listening. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to you, Chris.
Thank you. Welcome back. We were off for the holidays for a little bit, but we are back, of course, to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. And Scott, how were your holidays where Nintendo is concerned?
Great. I got a chance to play a lot of old, moldy old video games. I gave away two backlit Game Boys, one to my cousin and one to our contest winner. And I'm modding one more as a prize to somebody who came to a party of mine. And so it's been a Game Boy filled holiday.
Cool.
Video game wise, I played a lot of the NES Classic. I took it on vacation with me.
I did the same.
And it looks a lot better hooked up to other people's TVs. Man, I wish it looked as good on mine. So that's pretty much it. And actually spent a little bit of my holiday learning how to code NES games, which is kind of an ongoing hobby of mine. So so learning more assembly and learning about the NES processor.
Well, I didn't do any programming, but I did get Super Mario Maker for 3DS, so I can finally dig into that. But I haven't really played it much yet. Instead, I was playing more Pokemon Sun, and I finally beat that game. So I'm the champion of the Alola region. Yay me.
Is there a end game there? Is there more to do after you finish all the objectives?
There is. There's still more stuff to do. I don't know if I'm really going to do it or not, but man, I haven't beat a Pokemon game in, at least 10 years probably.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
So I think that's a testament to its quality that it hooked me that much.
Yeah.
As I mentioned last episode, it was one of my favorite games of the year, so I guess it shouldn't be too surprising. But yeah, I'm glad to have that under my belt. I got a little bit of spending money for the holidays as well. And I've been eyeing this new Nintendo-related product that went up for pre-order recently. I noticed that there is a Figma action figure. You know that line. You're a big fan of that, right?
Oh, yeah. I do like the Figmas, yep.
Well, there's a new one coming out later this year from Fire Emblem Fates of the main character, Corrin.
Oh, wow.
And the cool thing about it is that it's a female version of Corrin. Like, when they had the Robin amiibo for Smash Brothers, it was the male Robin. And in both cases, with Fire Emblem, I used the female character. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that Robin, I'm like, well, that's not really my Robin.
Yeah.
But with Korra, it's like, oh, cool. It's the female one, which is the one that I actually use. So it actually feels more like my character. I just wish it came with, like, different colored hair pieces so you could, you know, switch out the hair and make it look more like your character a little bit.
Yeah.
But still, it's cool just that they went with the female variant instead of the male.
So it's loaded with accessories like previous Figmas?
I don't really know yet. I haven't seen pictures of all the accessories. I know it comes with multiple faceplates and hands. But, you know, if it's like the usual stuff, it'll probably come with plenty. I know it comes with a sword. I know it comes with a dragon stone that she uses for transformation. Obviously, the toy does not turn into a dragon. But beyond that, I don't know. But, you know, it's Figma, so it's going to be good quality one way or the other.
Cool.
It's up for pre-order right now at Big Bad Toy Store for a pretty pricey $75, but I'm still hoping to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as we indicated earlier, it is 2017 now. It is a new year. We're looking forward to what's going on with Nintendo, and so that's pretty much going to be the bulk of this week's episode. That's going to be our big topic, and that's where we're going to get started discussing the 2017 Nintendo Year in Preview. And I suppose we should start off with the most obvious thing, which is, of course, the Nintendo Switch. The Nintendo Switch is Nintendo's new system. It's not coming out until March, but that's only about 2 months away.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, only next week, we are getting the big Nintendo Switch official unveiling event. You know, they showed it to us several weeks back. But next week is like the big coming out party. We're going to find out a lot more details. We're going to find out more about the games. And hopefully we'll know everything about what the system has to offer officially starting next week.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think, Scott? What do you think is going to happen? Do you have any last-minute predictions before we learn all about Switch during this event?
Last-minute predictions.
Like, what about price? Release date?
I'm now that we know it's not as that powerful.
Allegedly.
I don't... I don't think it's going to be as expensive as I once thought it was. Okay. I'm going to say something pretty strong here. I'm going to say that this device is dead in the water at any price above $250. I think...
Well, $250 is what I was thinking of before.
Yeah.
So I'm sticking with that prediction, but I do think there's going to be various SKUs. So $250 could be the low-end SKU, but there might be like a $300 or even more expensive than that.
Honestly, I think $200 is where this thing should be priced. And if it's more than that, I'm going to be disappointed.
But do you think it's actually going to come in at that?
It better.
Because I don't.
I think it should. I think it should come in at $200 because it's got to be competitive. It's got to convince people to buy yet another console. I just $250 is just barely on the edge of where I would think this should be priced at.
Well, $250 is still what I'm thinking is going to happen.
I think $300 would be just bananas. If it's $300, they're completely insane and they should pack up and go home.
Well, I think if there's a $300 version, then it'll probably come with a pack-in game. It'll probably come with, you know, maybe, you know, additional parts, additional controller parts, additional Joy-Con parts. You know, maybe it'll have the Pro controller packed in or something like that. So that's what I'm thinking there. Hopefully it won't be another issue with giving one version more memory or something like that, like it was with Wii U, because you've got to have that memory.
Yeah, the 32 gigs of space was vital, and having an extra hard drive was just not really a thing.
No, I'd do it even with the 32 gig version. So.
Oh, do you still have a hard drive attached to your Wii U?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, when Xenoblade Chronicles X came out, I'm like, nope. This ain't going to cut anymore. Yeah. I got to have this hard drive. Hopefully it's not going to be an issue with Switch, though, since it seems like it's just going to use standard SD cards for storing content on the system.
So I don't want to spend more than $250 on this. So if with a pack-in it's $300, I might put off buying it. I might put off buying it. I mean, getting it on launch day.
Well, hopefully that's something we'll find out about next week.
Yeah, I hope it comes in at a modest price, and I hope the games are still priced around $50 bucks.
I'm sure they will be.
Yeah, $50 would be nice for first party titles, just because we're not gonna have the luxury of these $40 portable titles much longer.
No, I wonder.
I don't know. I mean, if you really think this is replacing the 3DS in another future handheld, I don't see room for $40 games on the shelf alongside $60 games. But
well, even at present, that's what Nintendo did with Wii U. They had $40 games like Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker to go alongside full price $60 games. So
good point.
I think there could be room for multiple price points, but I guess we'll have to see about that.
So do you? I don't have any last minute predictions except that I want to see something surprising. I want to see something that I don't know about that will make this an irresistible purchase for me. I don't know what that is. I don't know what they could sell me that would, you know, blow my mind. Like
Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to have a bunch of surprises for us.
Okay.
I couldn't begin to tell you what they are, but I do think they will have plenty of unannounced software. As for the stuff we do know about, you know, we've been long anticipating The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and there have been all kinds of rumors about, you know, when that game was going to come out. Some people were saying it was quote-unquote delayed, even though they hadn't announced a release date for it. Now people are saying, oh, it's probably going to come out, you know, closer to launch. And I am definitely in the camp that believes it's going to be coming out close to launch, if not at launch. You know, that's the game they've shown the most of. That's the game that was on Fallon. I think that game is going to be ready to go day one. I don't think it's going to be held off for a summer release. So that is my belief about that
one. Yeah, I think they're in trouble if they don't have that game at launch, because otherwise you're trying to sell people on Mario Kart 8 again or Splatoon Redux. Like, you're trying to convince Nintendo fans to shell out cash and rebuy games, and that is a really scary prospect. Like, you better have something at launch that makes this irresistible to the core fan base, because if you don't have them, you're in trouble.
Now, do you think that those two are going to be available at launch also? Mario Kart, you know, 8.5 and Super Splatoon or whatever?
Definitely. I think those are more likely to be launch titles than Breath of the Wild, which is scary. Because these are games that exist. They had to port them to this new console, but if they had any sense whatsoever, they would have made that new system relatively easy to port from Wii U to this new system. If they didn't, then oh gosh. So yeah, I really do believe we're going to see a lot of just ports of Wii U games with some enhancements.
Oh, I hope not too many.
And, hey, now it's portable.
Ah, portable. Get it? That's why there's so many ports. thank you. No. I'll be here all week.
I mean, I'm not going to complain to have those portable Wii U games, but you know, you can only resell me the same game so many times before I'm like, I want something new.
So. Flooding a new system with last gen's titles has never really been part of Nintendo's MO. So I'm going to hold out hope that they're not really going to do that with too many games. And I'm also going to hope that in the case of Splatoon and Mario Kart, there's lots of new content. And I'm not convinced that both of them will be launch titles because, like you said, they're kind of unnecessary as launch titles. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking maybe one of them will be. Another one will come in the, you know, as I like to say, the launch window, but might follow a month or two down the line just because it's not necessary to have both of those there right away. And it doesn't really hurt the launch lineup to hold back on one of those.
Yeah, and usually Nintendo will have a game, a pack-in, that's pretty much shows off all of the cool features and how to take advantage of the features of this console. Nintendo Land, kind of. I mean, it showed
It did.
It did. It just
it
wasn't
a great game, but
it showed
certainly
the,
showed the features.
Yeah, it did show the features. It showed the asymmetrical gameplay. It showed the usage of the gamepad and how you can use the two screens. So I expect something like Nintendo Land built in. I don't even expect there to be a cart for this. I think it should just be on the system. Mm. So kind of like the 3DS has all those built-in apps, you know, so it's instantly usable as a system without even owning a game.
I could buy
that. I expect something like that.
Yeah, I don't see that outside the realm of possibilities. What about Mario? Do you think that's going to make launch?
I don't think so. Yeah.
I don't either.
I wish it would, but that would be a real surprise.
There's
no
stronger launch title than a new Mario game. But that didn't exactly do wonders for the Wii U, so you know, maybe it's not such a big deal after all. But still, we've seen so little of it, I would be amazed if that were ready for launch.
Yeah.
So I don't see that coming until much later in the year. Mm-hmm. Now, what about this Rabbids Mario crossover rumor? Have you followed that very
much? I haven't. This is the first time I'm hearing about it, and it's intriguing, and I love Rayman. I'm not a huge Rabbids fan. The Rabbids
game. Yeah, the first Rabbids game was okay, but then they like beat it into the ground and it was like, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not the best thing. But, you know, supposedly the rumor is that there's some sort of Mario Rabbids RPG hybrid game that's in the works.
Okay.
And it just sounds, I mean, I don't know anything else about it. I haven't heard any other rumors, but that just sounds so weird. I mean, it's weird to begin with because, you know, Ubisoft kind of abandoned the Wii U pretty early other than putting on its dancing games.
Yeah.
But still, you know, Rayman was a trophy in Smash Brothers, so there's clearly a tighter connection there than there are with a lot of third parties.
Yeah.
So hearing that this is a partnership, you know, doesn't really surprise me that much. But an RPG, I don't know, I find that part kind of hard to believe.
Yeah.
And maybe it has role-playing elements or something, but I can't see them doing like, you know, a new Super Mario RPG co-starring the Rabbids. Mm-hmm. That just sounds too weird.
The Rabbids always seem to me targeted towards a much younger demographic and more towards, I don't know, motion controls than anything else. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to use that property for an RPG unless it's for kids, but I don't know.
Well, it's a very interesting rumor and a very strange pairing, in my opinion, but I'm definitely not ruling it out. I could see something happening.
All right, we'll take that with a grain of salt. And I would much rather a Rayman Mario crossover, but I don't think we're going to see that either.
Yeah, that would definitely be more interesting, in my opinion. But I'm not exactly holding out for that one either. Now, if you could, you know, conjure up whatever you wanted to be shown next week and at this event, what would you want? What would you want to get?
Okay, so what I would want is, I would love bundles of games, kind of like what the NES Classic Edition is, but I know that would be cannibalizing that product for them to release a pack of games in this, you know, in this great package that has the save states and the artwork from the games, and I can it, you know, make Virtual Console feel more like that. That would be fun and exciting to me instead of these.
Well, at this point, they haven't even confirmed there is Virtual Console Switch.
There has to be. So hopefully that
will be officially confirmed next week, too.
And I would love a subscription-based Virtual Console. I know that's completely insane.
Well, you have mentioned something about that before.
I can see that as an option. I just don't see them doing that. But yeah, subscription-based Virtual Console where if I pay $10 a month, I have access to, I don't know, 30 different titles each month, and maybe they rotate or something like that. Nintendo really hasn't gone after any sort of subscription money the way that PlayStation and Xbox do. I mean, your Xbox is pretty worthless if you don't have Xbox Live. So, and I can almost say the same thing about the PlayStation Plus.
Well, personally, I'm just hoping for some updates to some of my favorite game series. You know, I don't really think either of these are going to happen, but I would love to see a new Metroid. I know you have said you would love to see a new Metroid. You know, knowing that this is a console handheld hybrid, I think, well, maybe there is an opportunity for them to do a, you know, traditional 2D Metroid. I would love to see that make a comeback, but I will settle for Metroid Prime.
No, I'm not going to settle.
And also, you know, now I'm thinking, oh, maybe with this system, it's time for Punch-Out to make a comeback.
Yeah, we haven't seen Punch-Out on the Wii U, and I'm definitely ready for another Punch-Out title.
Yeah, I could see them doing some interesting things with Joy-Cons and Punch-Out if they wanted to bring that back. So, again, not really something I expect, but it would be pretty cool if they did it. Oh, one thing I do kind of expect, though, is I kind of think that they're going to put their mobile titles onto the Switch. And so that way, when you've just got the Switch unit all by itself, no controllers, just a touchscreen, you'll still be able to play something like Mario Run or their upcoming mobile titles, or heck, Miitomo. They need to find a way for people to keep playing that, I suppose. I think that's my New Year's resolution. Try to stop playing Miitomo.
Try to stop playing it? I can't believe you're still playing it. I can't believe
That's what I'm saying. I can't believe I'm still playing it either.
And I'm using the word play in a very loose sense.
Yes, you are.
I think that game plays you.
I don't know why I'm still doing it. What about Zelda? Do you have any further thoughts on that one, on Breath of the Wild?
No, I think I'm just going to be happy to get a new Zelda game, and I don't expect there to be any big surprises with the new Zelda game.
I expect there to be lots of surprises.
You do?
I feel like there's so much we don't know about this game.
Really? I mean, I just expect it to be an open-world Zelda, and I've played other games that are like this game, so I kind of think I know what I'm going to expect. But, you know, obviously Nintendo does it best, so I'm excited for that, but I don't think I'm going to be blown away that there's a hookshot in this game or something like that.
Well, I just think there's still a lot that hasn't been revealed. I feel like they've just scratched the surface, and in this case, I'm pretty okay with that. I'm definitely looking forward to that one. Well, I think there's very little question that the new Zelda and the new system are going to be, you know, probably the year's biggest events relating to Nintendo. But it's certainly not the only thing that they've got going on this year. Just in a few weeks, we've got another pretty significant Nintendo 3DS game coming out. We've got Dragon Quest VIII, Journey of the Cursed King on January 20th.
Yeah, this is a game I wasn't excited for. You told me about it. I've been reading up on it, how massive of a game it is. And now I'm genuinely excited to own this game.
Well, if you're an RPG fan, there's a lot to get excited about. Did you ever play the original version on PlayStation 2?
I never did.
Neither did I. I actually bought it, but that was only for the Final Fantasy XII demo.
That's crazy. Do you still have it and you just still haven't played it?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
I'm going to pick up the 3DS version anyway.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it is massive. It seems like it's going to be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And as an RPG fan, there's going to be a lot to enjoy about this game, I think.
I've been watching the trailers. I'm impressed by the voice acting in this game, and I'm hopeful that it's that good all the way through the game.
Oh, cool. Glad to hear you're excited about it. The 3DS is turning into a great system when it comes to Dragon Quest. We can get 7 and 8. If you use backwards compatibility with DS games, you've got Dragon Quest 4, 5, 6, and 9. It kind of makes me hopeful that we will also be getting Dragon Quest 11 here in North America. You know, supposedly it'll be coming to Switch as well, but You know, if we get either of those, the 3DS version or the Switch version, I think that'll be pretty darn cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy to see a PlayStation 2 game make its way to a Nintendo platform. That's just insane to me. But
hey, we got Metal Gear Solid 3 during the early days of the 3DS, so it's not unprecedented. Regardless, that should be a good Epic game when it comes out later this month. Then just a few weeks after that, on February 3rd, we've got Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World on 3DS.
Mm-hmm. Have you played this game yet? Have you gotten a chance to play it at a Nintendo event or at like CES or E3?
No, I have not played this one at all. I did, of course, play Yoshi's Woolly World mm-hmm. on the Wii U,
yep.
But no, not this version.
Beyond what was already in the Wii U game, I saw there's these running levels with the Poochie character. Uh-huh. How else is Poochie integrated into this game?
Well, I know you can enlist the aid of Poochie pups to help you find secrets throughout the levels, but more important than that, to me anyway, is the new Poochie Amiibo.
Amiibo!
You can get the bundle that comes with the Amiibo, mm-hmm. and I think you can get it separately. I hope you can, because I pre-ordered it separately. And that's probably what I'm more excited about than the game itself, because you know, I've already played
a yarn dog Amiibo yes. is all it takes to get you to plunk down $50 for a video game.
Well, right now I've only pre-ordered the standalone Amiibo okay. for like 16 or 17 okay. bucks. But hey, if they tell me the only way to get it is by buying the bundle, I don't know, they might get me for that too. We'll see. Did you get the original Woolly World?
No, I didn't. I feel terrible about
okay,
that.
Okay, so you've got good reason to pick this one up.
I was on the fence about it, and then I heard middling reviews, and I was like, oh, well, I just haven't gotten around to picking it up. I will get it. Maybe when it's one of those red titles I can pick up for 20 bucks.
It has been discounted, but yeah, it's not down to that price yet. I think you can get a bundle with a Yarn Yoshi Amiibo for 40 bucks now,
oh,
I
that's,
believe.
All right, well, I'll consider that.
Or you could just hold out for this version.
I hope it's in 3D. I can't be sure now. With this late in the 3DS's life, the fact that they're abandoning 3D for so many titles is a little discouraging, but mm-hmm. hopefully that's not the case with this game too.
Well, the packaging mock-ups I've seen online do seem to imply it's in 3D, so that's good news, and it gives you another incentive to pick that version up.
Mm-hmm.
After that, there is no firm release date for this one yet, but in the spring we're supposed to be getting Mario Sports Superstars.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that includes soccer, baseball, tennis, golf.
And horse racing.
That's right, horse racing.
Horse racing.
So it's like all your favorite Mario Sports games.
Plus horse racing.
Sluggers and strikers, and then golf and tennis, and then, yes, horse racing.
But I was down on this until I watched some of the gameplay from the games, and they do feel like they're going to be full-featured game. Like, it's going to be like Mario Tennis, not with all the RPG elements, but it's going to be like, you know, strikers, and it's going to be like what's the baseball one called, not
sluggers.
So I'm optimistic for this. I expected five crummy, like, I don't know, Wii Sports mini games, but we're getting,
well, it's
more
Camelot. Camelot's doing golf and tennis, mm-hmm. and their last few efforts, you know, haven't really been that fully featured, so that was disappointing. But if they give something of that caliber and they do it with five different sports, I mean, that's a much more compelling idea than just like, you know, Tennis Ultra Smash, mm-hmm. where it's basically a bare bones tennis, a good but bare bones tennis game.
So Camelot developed the latest tennis games for the 3DS?
I'm under the impression they are doing tennis and golf in Mario Sports Superstars.
Oh, they parted parts of this game out to different developers?
Well, I think, yeah, they're playing up their areas of expertise.
That's bananas. So like the tennis game is being developed by a different developer than like the horse game?
I'm not sure, but I think that's very possible.
That's crazy. Okay. Well, that should be interesting. All right.
Now you seem very excited about this horse racing.
I'm not excited about it. The when you watch the horse racing, it's like, well, they wanted to put Mario Kart in the damn thing, but they didn't want to kill their Mario Kart franchise by doing that. So they're
if
like,
if it plays
oh,
like Mario Kart, I'll be all over that.
Horse racing.
Even though I'm terrified of horses.
I'm not big on pressing the B to make the horse go faster type crap. So if that's the way this game controls, count me out. You know, I have to get the carrot meter up or whatever. So Yeah, I'm not too jazzed about the horse racing, but the golf, I'm always down for a good golf game. Tennis, I could take it or leave, but I'm excited more for the baseball and the golf.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I guess I'll have to take a wait-and-see approach on this, but like you, I am cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. Also on the way is Ever Oasis. Mm-hmm. It is a role-playing game, I think, from some of the folks that were involved in the Mana games. No release date on this one yet, but it's an all-new original action RPG set out in a desert oasis, as the title implies. Mm-hmm. Any interest in this one?
Yeah, I think I would have been less interested had I not watched like 20 minutes of it from the Nintendo Direct from, oh gosh, was this last E3?
Yeah, I think it was E3 back in June.
Yeah, it was E3. So I'm definitely optimistic for that. I'm excited for this because it's a different take on the action RPG. You're kind of building a town out in the desert. And
yep, so it seems.
Instead of buying things in the shops, you're building the shops to sell to adventurers that come into your town. And then you go out into there's some dungeoneering with different characters. It looks very cutesy. There's some what looks like some very light, sim management type stuff going on with building these shops and selling weapons to adventurers as they come into your town and placing them along the road. And I'm guessing you have to place them in some sort of logical fashion so that you
get
probably not. And you greet little penguin people that come into your town. I'm definitely going to consider buying this game. What do you think? Or is this something you're going to pick up?
I don't know. I'd like to learn more about it. But it's funny that, when you describe it that way, it kind of reminds me just slightly, a little bit, of ActRaiser, where it's got this whole simulation building type stuff, and then you go off and do the action-y type stuff. And I'm sure it's absolutely nothing like ActRaiser in most other regards, but just on a conceptual level, that does appeal to me quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I am a big fan of action RPGs, so I'm going to be keeping an eye on this one. It could be a lot of fun.
All right.
And I think the last one we know about from Nintendo that's coming out on 3DS is the new Pikmin. Now reimagined as a side-scrolling adventure game.
Yeah, I find it bizarre that they're taking their franchise that are so well-known for the gameplay style that they invented, and then they just like, oh, well, let's now try to shoehorn it into a different genre of game. And you wind up with the side-scrolling, Pikmin game. I'm interested in it, but knowing that for Pikmin fans, me not being one of them, they're missing out on another Pikmin game and getting instead like a side-scrolling platformer, I don't know. That's a tough sell.
Well, I like side-scrolling platformer adventure games, so I'm definitely intrigued by this one. I do think it's kind of weird because I feel like the old style of Pikmin gameplay would work great on the 3DS.
Yeah, I do too. It's with the touchscreen especially, yeah.
Yeah, in that respect, it's a little weird. But still, I'm curious to see what they do tackling a different genre. So I think it could be cool.
It looks like Lemmings, but you're controlling a guy that's throwing lemmings around the floor. Really, like it's literally lemmings. I mean, the blue lemmings swim, the yellow lemmings, they jump high, the red lemmings / Pikmin are fire resistant. So, they all have their different abilities, and you chuck them towards areas where they'll do their most good. And that's pretty much what Lemmings is.
Well, that doesn't sound like a bad thing to me.
I guess not. I just described a good game. I guess, well, we'll see. I'm not down on it. I'm just saying they should have used a different IP. It could have just as easily been a Zelda game where he's throwing those weird octopuses at things. Link is what side-scrolling Link action platformer. Is that the next thing we have to look forward to, Chris Hoffman?
Hopefully not. Okay. I think it's an interesting concept, so I'm looking forward to checking out this new Pikmin experience. Why don't we take a little intermission, and then we come back, we will continue our conversation about what else we have to look forward to in 2017. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and we are continuing our discussion about our 2017 Nintendo preview. We already talked about Switch and a lot of the first-party 3DS stuff that we know about, but believe it or not, there are actually some noteworthy third-party games coming out on the Nintendo 3DS. Which ones are you most excited about, Scott?
I'm definitely most excited for the new Blaster Master.
Yeah.
And that is going to be right up my like retro alley.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I'm also excited to see if Comcept will deliver on making a Mighty No. 9 for the 3DS, or will it just be quietly forgotten?
I don't think it's coming out. As I mentioned on our last episode, I think they're just going to sweep that one under the rug pretend it never happened.
I'm just going to just bide my time and see if it ever comes to pass. I think I don't want to play it on the 3DS at this point, but if they give it to me, hey, I've already paid for it.
If they rebuilt it and actually used a new engine, it could actually be a superior version.
Yeah,
but
can
I
you
think
imagine?
They're just going to
what if they
forget
what if the
about
3DS becomes like the good version of Mighty No. 9 and they
if they want to put in some effort, they could make it happen.
Oh wow. Well, that's wow, that would be incredible.
But I'm not holding my breath.
That would blow my mind.
But Blaster Master, yeah,
yes,
I'd love to
Blaster
see more
Master.
Of that one. That one is looking very exciting. And I think it's supposed to come out pretty early in the year. But, you know, the original game and its follow-ups were all pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. The whole concept of the exploration in the vehicle and then going into the on-foot stages has always been fun. So, yeah, that one is definitely one I'm looking forward to. I believe that is a downloadable-only title. Mm-hmm. And there are several other indie downloadable games I'm looking forward to hit the system this year as well. Did you ever play Antipole on DSiWare?
No, because I never even owned a DSi, so...
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, we can get most of that stuff on 3DS, but anyway, there's a follow-up coming out called Antipole DX. Uh-huh. And it's a thoroughly enhanced version of this game. And it's a 2D side-scrolling platformer that's all about gravity manipulation. So, you know, you're switching around from walking on the floor to the ceiling. And, you know, you use it as a method both to maneuver yourself and to destroy enemies. And it's really cool and really fun. And it's one of the best DSiWare games out there. And the developer has been working on a follow-up for quite a while now. And... it should be out on 3DS later this year. I believe there's also a Wii U version in development. And as far as I know, that's actually still coming. So that might be one of the few noteworthy Wii U games coming out that's not Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, that's cool. This is I'm looking at a trailer for it right now, and the artwork is really incredible. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed the last version.
Cool.
In addition to that, Punch Club, I believe, is still coming out for 3DS. Which is like this wacky 80s-inspired menu-driven fighting adventure game. And it's just so weird and quirky and has A-Team and Mr. T references in it that obviously are right up my alley. So
yeah, when this was announced or teased ages ago, it looked like a joke. It didn't look like a real thing. And I think it took like a while for more than just me to realize, oh my gosh, they're really making a game like this. So I'm
well,
excited.
Well, if I hadn't already played it on Mac, then I might not have believed it either. But I have played that version, and I fought like fake Ninja Turtles in the sewer and stuff, passed out after eating bad pizza. It's a weird game that I think will find a good home on 3DS, I hope.
Well, it looks ridiculous.
And then there's another indie title that I don't think we've actually talked about on the show before, Shakedown Hawaii, which is the follow-up to Retro City Rampage.
Oh, cool. I didn't even know about this.
Yeah. I mean, for a while, I don't think I even realized it was coming out on 3DS, but it is. And it's not a retro-inspired parody thing like Retro City Rampage was. It's probably closer to, like, 32-bit graphics or maybe really good 16-bit graphics. But it's, a top-down, open-world action-adventure game, somewhat like the, original GTA as it was on PCs and PlayStation. Judging from the trailer, it seems very action heavy, lots of shooter type action. And I think there's more to it that just hasn't been revealed yet, but it's looking pretty cool. So that seems like a fun one.
Right on. Yeah, I'll buy that in a second. I love Retro City Rampage, so this is definitely a must buy for me.
And then, you know, this is one of the few notable 3DS games that's actually not a downloadable independent title, although I guess there will be an eShop version of, as well, and that is Story of Seasons Trio of Towns, you know, the newest game in that long-running series. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that one's exciting, not only because it has three different towns to shop in and explore and interact with citizens and, you know, lots of different crops to grow, but, of course, as I've mentioned before, this is the one that lets you have a pet capybara.
Among other things. That's, yes. That's great. This is a day one purchase for you no matter what.
Well, you pre-order it and you get a plush capybara. So, yeah, that's...
Boy,
that's,
they are really, you know, selling this capybara thing up. That's
you
awesome.
You can't go wrong with the giant
How much... And that one's actually not that expensive. It's like $40 and you get the capybara too?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah, regular priced 3DS game. That's coming out from Xseed, of course. There's no release date yet on that one, but I do kind of expect it to show up early in the year, maybe in the first quarter, or if not then, certainly in the first half of 2017. Fans of farming games and Harvest Moon and Giant Cuddly Rodents should definitely keep an eye on that one. But then, moving on from 3DS, there are also Nintendo's other mobile games that are supposed to be coming out not too far into the future.
Yeah.
Mario Run just came out last month, but of course there are still other games in the works that will be with us on mobile platforms before too terribly long. Specifically, Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing. So far, Nintendo really hasn't revealed any details about these two games. But, Scott, what are you kind of hoping to get from? What do you expect?
I'm hoping that Nintendo figures it out. They need to figure this out because they can't release another mobile game for free with a crippled demo and then make me unlock the game for $10. That's not going to fly with the rest of the world. Mario Run did amazingly well. Super Mario Run did really well. And mm-hmm. still failed miserably.
I don't think I agree with
for
that.
For the 50 million downloads, 3% of the people that downloaded the game paid for the full version of the game. 3% of 50 million. That's a lot
of
people.
That's probably a pretty
good
conversion rate.
That's really good conversion rate. That's like 2 to 3 times the average conversion rate of a good mobile game. So they mm-hmm. really did a great job with that. Except it was a bad model to base this game on. This game would have done a lot better for them had it been a game that was free to play, and then I could pay to make the game less annoying to play.
We already discussed this ad infinitum, so I don't want to get into it again, but everybody that I've talked to, they aren't people who are going to pay to unlock any of that stuff. They all just want to be like, I'm just going to sit here and let the time run out, and then I can play it again without plunking down any
money.
That's
fine, but there are a lot more people like me who are like, well, I'm...
Well, not the people I hear from.
But they're not giving people enough of the game to play to really feel invested in it to the point where they're like, well, screw it. I invested 20 hours into this game, and I'm loving it. I'm just going to pay the $10 and unlock everything.
Well, these are definitely different types of games that lend themselves to very different types of monetary practices.
That's right. And with Fire Emblem, I would hate to see this be a free-to-play game that then I pay to unlock. I think this is a game where $10 up front, you know, and you and maybe DLC with more and more levels. Because this game,
yeah, that's the thing, is that even with the 3DS games, mm-hmm. they had lots and lots of paid DLC to expand
DLC
the experience.
DLC is what's going
to
make this game really, really sing. So if you can give me 10 solid, awesomely fun levels to play all the way through, where I'm not just getting mm-hmm. a taste of the game and like a tutorial level, I'm getting like what feels like a full game, and then offer me a bunch of really great DLC. Holy cow. People are clamoring for Mario Run DLC right now, and Nintendo's just sitting there with their, you know, their hands tied. So I think DLC is where Fire Emblem needs to go, and I'm excited for it. I didn't mm-hmm. like the Fire Emblem series, and I got into it not too long ago. Turn-based strategies are not my thing because they're so punishing, and I'm such a perfectionist. So.
Well, hopefully this one will have an easy mode like the last couple games have had.
I'm excited to see them do the right thing with Fire Emblem. Let's see if they can.
I'm expecting it to be fairly traditional from a gameplay standpoint, and I do expect it to have lots of DLC, because not only could they have more missions, but they could have like unlockable characters. Mm-hmm. You'll bring in the characters from past games, do things of that nature. I just hope they don't do something like, because you know, in the past games, this doesn't happen in Fates, But in the previous games, you know, your weapons would break. And so hopefully it's not like, oh, well, you got to use this limited resource to fix your weapons this time. And, you know, this is where they're going to try to make the money from free to play or something. Although they have kind of said that they aren't planning to do a free to play model on this. But, you know, that was a long time ago. It's very possible that their opinions have changed on that.
Like you had mentioned last week after we stopped recording, you had mentioned the Pokemon Picross game. And holy cow, that is the perfect model for what they should be doing with mobile games, because you can play it all the way through without paying a cent, but it's super frustrating. You have to wait for your, you know, Picross pieces to recharge and your Pokemon have to recharge. So you can pay.
Well, the nice thing about Pokemon Picross is that it has a cap. Once you spend amounts to like $30, it's like, okay, well, you now have infinite everything. You're never going to have to pay another single cent into this game again. And that's what I don't like about, you know, regular free to play games is that, you know, they expect you just keep on paying and paying forever and ever. Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of a good balance.
I don't necessarily think that lends itself to like Fire Emblem or Super Mario Run, but I think if they can, honestly, if they just gave us Pokemon Picross on the iPhone, my head would explode and I'd go download it. Like, that's the kind of thing that, you know, Picross, it sounds stupid, but I get addicted to Picross, and I think that they should put that and 3D Picross on iPhone to, like, yesterday.
Well, that one is from the Pokemon company, not Nintendo itself, so you'll have to take it up with them.
Oh, damn it. But, well.
But what about Animal Crossing? I think that's another one that could be, like, absolutely insane when it comes to the microtransactions. I mean, the main game, I think, you know, maybe making that one completely free to play would be fine, and you can either just take it slow and easy, and it would be like a traditional Animal Crossing game. But because there are so many opportunities for buying stuff in that game, yeah, that's one where they could make it like, oh, you just do some microtransactions and you get more bells, you have access to different stuff. And that would not really bother me that much because it's not something that's integral to the gameplay. It's just an aesthetic choice for the most part. And I think some hardcore fans would go nuts for that. And I think the others would just be like, okay, well, I'm just going to play it the normal way and won't worry about that. So I think that actually could be an okay balance.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see where they take Animal Crossing, because I think, again, you can't give me a crippled demo and then expect me to pay $10 for the full game. With Animal Crossing, you have to give me the full game for free and then give me a reason to spend money inside the game. And, you know, it sounds crazy, but Valve gave away a game called Team Fortress, and then they sold hats inside the game, and they've made millions of dollars by selling hats for people to put on their character. Now, seriously, if Valve can sell hats, Nintendo can sell, I don't know, not bells, but like, you know, little fridges for your house or TVs or some crap. Like,
well, I loved all the Nintendo stuff you could get in the previous Animal Crossing games.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was, you get those fortune cookies and it was random and it would take me, you know, quite a long time. And on the one hand, that keeps me playing day after day after day after day.
Yeah.
But if they're like, oh, hey, for a 99 cent premium purchase, you can get this, you know, duplicate of a Mario go-kart to put in your house, and you can get it right away and not have to worry about going through this other stuff. It'd be like, okay, maybe that's worth it to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I think.
And that might not be too adverse if it's given, you know, as an option, and it's not the only way to do some of that stuff.
So this is a dirty secret that I'm going to admit right here on the show. I've put $15 into Badger Arcade. I've put $15 into Badger Arcade on the 3DS.
I'd probably put in more than that.
So that's crazy.
Get all those Mega Man badges,
if I try to explain that to anyone outside of the world of Nintendo fans or people that own 3DSs, you'd have to have your head examined. What did you pay for? Like, you paid $15 for what? Like, so, it, you know, if you give me something like that.
What did you pay money for in that, by
yeah,
the
what
way?
Did
what
I pay?
What were you getting?
Oh, like, you know, I needed all the Mega Man bosses, and I needed, like, I needed all the Christmas Santa Mario crap, and I needed...
So you're just as bad as
I
me,
needed
then.
All the 8-bit parrots, and I needed all the... So, yes, I needed them. I needed all the Famicom carts. I needed all the 8-bit Game Boy Advances. So, yes, I needed those things, and that's where all my $15 went. So, and I'm not especially good at Badger Arcade. But Yeah. Don't feel bad for me, and don't feel bad for the next schmuck that pays $15 to put a Argyle patterned couch in his house. So Nintendo should make that an option for me. And if I don't want to have a special Mario couch inside my Animal Crossing house, then I'll just have the plain one that I get for free. But yeah, give me a reason to spend money, Nintendo. Give me a reason to pay a dollar for a hat. Seriously, like, I will do it. I will do it. I'm the idiot, and there are thousands of me out there like me. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping they go for with their mobile strategy. But if they give me a crippled demo of Animal Crossing and say, now pay $10 to unlock the whole game, I am seriously going to pack up all my toys and go home. I'm going to become a Sega fan for life.
Well, I'm never going to agree with you on Mario Run, but I do think there are definitely different ways to do it with Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing. And like I said, I'm expecting fairly traditional gameplay experiences on these. I think they translate really, really well to mobile without having to, you know, change or alter things in significant ways. And I do think they could have some interesting ways to make people spend money without ruining the game.
Yeah. So. And one more word on Animal Crossing and I'll shut up. If Nintendo can get their poop together, figure out how to get a server to handle multiple users and get multiple people in the same Animal Crossing town interacting, that would blow people's minds and people would just throw their money. They would drive to Redmond and just throw money onto the lawn of Nintendo HQ. Because seriously, that's the kind of thing people would pay crazy money for. And
they've done that in the past games. How would you want this to be different in this version of Animal Crossing?
You know, I want to create a town and then invite my friends and we could all be in the town together, not just one.
So you'd live there perpetually, not just visiting a few at a time.
Yeah, I want to build a town with my friends. Like, I don't want my town and then cool. I have to go on a train and visit their town, but they're not there and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, if you have a town and I have a town, maybe we could visit each other's towns, but you'll be in the town with me and we'll be able to go explore it together. Yeah, make it like Minecraft. Like, how come Minecraft can be a thing, but Animal Crossing can't be like that?
No, you make a good point. I'm not exactly holding my breath for that to be a feature in this one, but eventually Animal Crossing is going to have to do that. So hopefully we'll see it sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
And that covers most of what I'm expecting to see from Nintendo so far that we know of in 2017. Obviously, this is sort of a gimme question, Scott, but what are you looking forward to the most?
I'm looking
just
forward to...
Just one thing. You only can pick one thing.
One thing. I just want a surprise during that Switch event on January 12th. I've already gotten the bad news. Give me the good news. Give me the good news. That's what I'm excited for. I mean, you know, bad in quotes, but, you know, I know it's not going to be the fastest console on the block. Just give me a reason to believe, you know. Give me a reason to buy this thing.
Okay, well, you're listening to your news. I'm going to be playing The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild because that's what I am most excited about. Even if I don't even get a Switch for some reason, I predict that I'll be playing Breath of the Wild for probably the rest of the year. Just the game looks so freaking enormous. I think I'll be able to be, you know, just sitting on my couch playing it for like six months.
Can you imagine like a 100-hour game? That would be amazing. If this is a 100-hour Zelda game, we're all in for a world of hurt. This one's going to take people's souls. I'm excited for
that's what I'm looking forward to,
for an epic Zelda game. But I'm more like the kid who's more excited for like Christmas Eve than for Christmas Day. So I really am excited for just being surprised.
All right. Fair enough. Well, that wraps up our big topic for this week. But we've also got some listener mail in recently that I would like to read and answer here on this week's show. This first one comes from Andrew, and he says, "Hey, Power Pros, I just recently purchased a PS4, and it is my first non-Nintendo console. So far, I've really been enjoying Uncharted and Fallout 4. Although this is a Nintendo podcast, I was wondering if either of you ever step outside the Nintendo comfort zone, and what games are your favorites on other consoles? Keep up the awesome show, guys."
Good question.
Confession time.
Yeah, bring it, Chris Hoffman. We know you're a closet Genesis fan.
I'm not a closet Genesis fan. I've been a fan of other systems, going all the way back to 16-bit days. I had a Genesis, I had a Saturn, I had a Sega CD, I had a PlayStation 1, 2, 3, and 4, Xbox 360, Boy, to name some of my favorites, boy, I don't even know where I could start. You know, going back to PlayStation, I'd say Symphony of the Night, Metal Gear Solid, Lunar, Suikoden, Parappa the Rapper. You know, more recently, Metal Gear Solid 5 is one of my favorites on PlayStation 4. I just started playing The Last Guardian. It seems pretty cool. I'm looking forward to Final Fantasy 15 and the Final Fantasy 12 remake. Oh, and the Ratchet & Clank series. It's actually one of the most Nintendo-y non-Nintendo games I've ever played. So if you're a Nintendo fan and you have a PlayStation, totally pick up the Ratchet & Clank games. And then on handhelds, I've really been enjoying the Trails in the Sky games. Those are actually PSP titles published by XSEED. And for something a little more bizarre and obscure, the Danganronpa and Steins Gate titles on the PlayStation Vita. So there you go. Scott, what about you?
So I don't play a lot of newer systems. We have them in the house. My wife owns every next-gen or current-gen console. The Wii U is mine, obviously, but she's got the PS4 Pro and an Xbox One, and she's got her eyes on whatever the Xbox Scorpio is or whatever the new Xbox is. We also have a PlayStation VR headset. But for me, most of my non-Nintendo gaming is happening on my iPad or my iPhone, and also on retro consoles. So I have an Atari 2600, a TurboGrafx-16, a ColecoVision that I love dearly. If you've never played a ColecoVision, check it out. It's like I would say it's the missing link between the Atari and the NES.
Not really missing out.
If you like arcade games, you are missing out. The ColecoVision is the king of the arcade games, of our arcade ports, and really good arcade ports. I'm not a huge Sega fan. I love PlayStation 3 and 4 games that I could play, the ones that aren't 3D. A lot of platformers and games that you couldn't play on other consoles. I really enjoyed Galaxy quite a bit, which is a crazy space shooter. Two games I just want to briefly mention were Nidhogg, super hilarious action fighting game. You and an opponent, okay, and you're just trying to stab each other to death. It's hilarious. Okay. If you haven't played it, go check out Nidhogg. The other one, Towerfall, which is this really hilarious party game. You know, a bunch of people in a room with a few drinks, and this game is just instant hilarity. It's just you're trying to kill each other and rack up points. It all takes place. All right. It's all 8-bit, takes place on one level, and you fall through the floor and you come back through the ceiling. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's like Joust, but with guns.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Our other bit of listener mail comes from Joey T, and he writes, "Happy holidays, Power Pros. I'm making my first trip to New York City this weekend. I was wondering what to expect from the Nintendo store. I know the Hoff has been there for Nintendo Power, but I was wondering if Scott has been there as well. Can you buy retro hardware or possibly old strategy guides? And are there any other video game attractions in New York City that you guys are aware of?"
Ooh. All right.
Now, we got this a couple weeks ago.
Ah, sorry, Joey.
And I knew it wasn't going to make the show, so I sent him an email to let him know what I could.
Okay.
And that is that, no, Nintendo New York does not have retro hardware or strategy guides.
No, but they have some on display.
They do. They have a museum upstairs, and that's pretty darn cool. And so, like, the famous Game Boy that was, you know, melted in Desert Storm. They, you know, they've had that up there, and they've had like a museum showing all their old consoles and stuff like that. There's lots of cool stuff. I did point him towards Video Games New York.
Oh yeah, I would have done the same thing.
Which is a big retro game store that has, you know, like all kinds of stuff. If you want to get old strategy guides or old hardware, that's one of the good places to go to. There might be other places, but that is certainly the one that I visited the last time I was there.
Yeah.
And it's very, very extensive. Not exactly cheap, but very extensive. Mm-hmm. So, Scott, what's your experience been like with the Nintendo store and visiting game places in New York?
I used to live in New York, and...
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I know this is gonna sound awful, but I just felt like the Nintendo store is a bit of a letdown. It was a lot of apparel and not a lot of, like, figures or toys. It was.
Well, I know they have a lot of that stuff now. They definitely have the figures in addition to the clothes. So maybe it's improved a lot since you were last there.
Probably
when was the last time you were there?
Ooh, 2010. So it's been like six years.
Well, I did hear back from Joey after he went on this trip. And it sounded like things actually went pretty well. He did check out Video Games New York. He also went to a place called Museum of the Moving Image that has a whole bunch of classic arcade games that you can try out. He mentioned Dig Dug and NBA Jam as a couple that were on display and he was able to play. And he sent a whole bunch of pictures from his visit to Nintendo New York. And right now, in their upstairs museum area to celebrate the NES Classic. It's all about the NES. So they've got all the original cartridges and manuals and advertisements and all kinds of cool stuff relating to the old 8-bit NES.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then he showed up, you know, he sent a whole bunch of pictures that showed off all the merchandise and stuff they had. And so, like, all these Figmas and things that we talk about from time to time, all these, you know, expensive statues, they've got all that stuff for sale too. So, it does seem like it's improved a bit since your last visit.
Cool.
And I'll try to send out some links on the Power Pros Twitter so you can see the photos that Joey took. Take a look at his photo galleries and see what that's all
about. Awesome. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, and this last thing isn't a listener letter, but I should mention that we had that contest for the Shantae Half Genie Hero Code, and we did choose a winner for that. It went to at Jacket Stuff, and I contacted him earlier today and sent him his code, and so he is now a lucky winner of Shantae Half Genie Hero.
Awesome.
Thanks to everybody who entered, and I hope that at Jacket Stuff enjoys the game.
Me too.
And I think that does it for this week's episode, but before we go, let's wrap things up with a dramatic reading. This time, from another title that's included in the NES Classic, it'll be an excerpt from the manual of the original Ninja Gaiden. The wind howls as the two dueling ninjas glare at each other in the moonlight. Though these men seem like little more than shadows in the air, the moonlight reveals, just for an instant, a glint of light that proves to be the end of the contest. Ken, head of the Hayabusa clan, which has for generations been the guardian of the Dragon Sword, is defeated. Ken's son Ryu, after learning of his father's defeat, finds a letter. In it, Ryu is told that if his father does not return, he must take the secret dragon sword and go to America. Ryu senses danger awaiting him in America. What will be the fate of Ninja Ryu?
America? This game takes... Ninja Gaiden takes place in America? No.
Yeah, you didn't know.
No. That's cool.
Yeah, that's what happens.
For America, maybe. Not in Japan. There's no way. The signs aren't even in English. Are you serious? They're selling this as a game that takes place in America, because
well, certainly in the game, you know, in its cinema scenes, that's what happens. Yeah,
is that real for real?
So I don't know if that's the way it was in the original Japanese version, but it certainly is in the game.
That is how
it actually does unfold. Yeah, he goes there and meets. Walter Smith. Yeah, Walter Smith.
Walter Smith.
And after that, you travel to the Amazon.
Walter Smith.
Yeah, he's a noted archaeologist.
In the Amazon. There's no Amazon in America.
Well, it's South America.
Maybe. All right.
You travel there after you visit Walter Smith, who's being killed by ninjas and eagles or something. I don't know.
Oh, man. I had no idea this game had its roots in America. Ryu Hayabusa.
You're a world traveler.
I mean, we don't have ninjas in America. I mean, we do, but they're just like people that go to karate, take karate lessons or something.
Well, Ryu isn't American. Ryu's from Japan.
He's from Japan. All right. Well, he must have looked really out of place with his crazy, like, headscarf and his crazy ninja magic.
Have you played the game? Yeah.
Yeah, who's attacking him? A bunch of Americans? What do? Japan just sent over a bunch of henchmen to kill Ryu Hayabusa?
Well, I don't know. I mean, judging by the bad guy's name, I think that the bad guys might have been Spanish or South American.
And what about the birds? What possessed the birds?
The birds, they're just pissed off at everybody.
Imagine America was like that. You can't get down the street without a bird knocking you back.
I know. They'll knock you back like 20 feet. It's a real pain.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, watch out for those birds, people.
Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Scott at PlasticBugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, it would be great if you give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella.
See you next week.
And our good friend Midna. We will see you next time.